The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Rivka Skidmore from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Flavor is about helping you live a healthier, happier lifestyle. Simplify at all levels. Follow these simple tips and learn how to take a step back when necessary and prioritize the tasks in your life. By Marie Ricks. Many of you have muddy bogs in your routines, schedules, and habits. There are places where you approach life with too much chaotic spontaneity. As with all the other projects you're engaging in as you learn how to be organized, always look for ways to simplify your life. Here are four additional directives and their application to a regular family issue. Number one, eliminate. Eliminate from your wardrobe any difficult to keep up or time-consuming pieces of clothing. An example would be a blouse that needs to be ironed before it can be worn. Reduce. Reduce unneeded clothing items you have out and about by storing off-season items either in the back of your closet or in deeper storage areas of your abode. Postpone. Postpone filling out your wardrobe, no matter what the experts say, and stick to about a dozen tried-and-true outfit combinations, especially during times of financial drought or emotional stress. Systemize. Finally, systemize your professional and casual wardrobe by rotating through outfits so you know what to wear tomorrow, even next week, without having to think about it each morning. Do you have other places where you can simplify? Such as bill paying, mending, food management, or paperwork? If so, think through the four steps to simplification. Eliminate, reduce, postpone, systemize. Make your day like a dance. Sometimes you begin your day frazzled and frustrated. This challenge can be overcome by approaching your day like a dance, and a lovely one at that. Dress one level higher. One way to make your day more like a dance is to dress one level higher than your mood. So even when you're doing the laundry, tending the garden, cleaning the dishes, or taking care of children, you feel a little prettier. This small adjustment in dress will save you time because you'll get to tend to get at projects sooner, stay at them longer, and get done quicker. Practice a skill. Second, let's agree that there are certain personal home responsibilities you really don't like. It might be dusting, vacuuming, laundry, or dishes. It might be all four. To get your daily dance going, focus on learning the dance steps to one of these challenges. Sit down, write out why the organization skill is tough for you. Look at the chore and see what you can do to move from feeling panicked to finding a state of peace. For example, let's tackle dusting. Dusting is hard because it's an invisible chore. It's only noticeable when it doesn't get done. It's also boring. So you might say to yourself, I can avoid that chore for one more day. And when you take time to look at this problem, you may realize that you don't have a good dusting glove and that touching dust with your fingers gives you the creeps. So you can add two dusting gloves to your shopping list and solve that problem. And then you may realize that you don't mind dusting the family room because there aren't a lot of flat surfaces to worry about. But the living room is nothing but trinkets that need to be picked up, dusted under, and put down again. By removing half the trinkets and rearranging them a bit, you could dust that room in half the time. Remember, Small adjustments in your daily dance add up to minutes and hours over a week's time. Look at your routines and see what you can do to make jobs easier to complete successfully. Do you need to buy better tools? Paint a laundry wall to make the area cheerier? Or organize toys so that daily cleanup is more pleasant? Delete 10% of your commitments. When you dance through your day, there is an appropriate pacing and comfortable speed, meaning you're not trying to do too much in too little time. When you try to hurry, you often become frazzled. If you can downsize 10% of your pressures, there will be a significant improvement in the capacity to take care of your most important responsibilities. For example, you might say, "I'd be happy to read to you, but it would be better for me to just read this much before you go down for your nap." So look at your laundry habits, your dish routines, your menu planning, your child care patterns, and focus on one that is particularly frustrating and making you frazzled. Ask yourself what you can do to dress a little nicer, to organize a little bit differently, and delete a little bit here and there so the feeling of control can return to your life while you dance through your day. Start less, end earlier. As you become more organized, two important skills can add to your journey. First, start less often, which means not starting up more in the beginning of the day than it is reasonable to finish by the end of the day. Second, learn to end earlier so you're refreshed for the transition in the next part of your day. Let's look at examples of these two principles. Let's say you have a complex summer ahead of you, including sponsoring a special occasion breakfast. This would be a time when you don't want to make any major mistakes, leaving things behind or retrace your steps without difficult challenges. For things to work best for everyone, it's important to start less often. This means that during this focused time of preparation and packing, wouldn't you also start up projects that can wait, such as a new quilt that needs tying, 3 dresses for the community play, 2 chocolate cakes for a church function? Start less often means thinking it through longer and not starting up more than you can finish in a reasonable time. As the stress rises and the complexity of difficult situations settles in, you will begin to worry, "Have I remembered everything? Will I have what I need when I need it? What will happen if I don't think clearly?" When you move to the mode of starting less, you can do a sort of mental role-playing. In your mind, you can get up, dress yourself for the morning, for the breakfast you're worrying about, thus confirming which clothes you will wear, walk through what tools and materials you might need for that day's activities, and clarify what you need to put aside for those needs. You can mentally walk through the sequence of the day's responsibilities, events, and pressures to see where you have holes in your thought processes, preparations, and possibilities. You can also decide what preparations are enough, because it's unlikely you'll be able to do that much more before the big breakfast commitment takes place. At times, you may have had several pressing needs at once. During these more difficult times, you may want to prepare for all the needs before the first begins, because there wouldn't be much time between events to mentally prepare for the next. In addition, remember to stop to rest before you're actually tired. As stated before, it's better to quit and rest before you reach the end of your energy. It helps to stop just shy of being fatigued. You'll recover faster and have more resiliency to return to your project or prepare for the next demand. Organize to start less often by thinking the event through carefully, writing down your thoughts, and committing to starting only as many projects as you are likely to reasonably finish. As you work, watch for the first signs of fatigue and respond to them by resting and reviving. These two skills help take the strain out of stressful seasons. When worry sets in, turn your mind to role-playing and reasoning. It can make all the difference. And if you do leave something undone or take a short break to rest, at least you'll be a more pleasant, thoughtful person to be around. And you'll also feel more confident with each day's demands. Learn to finish completely. There is a great power in learning to finish. Surprisingly, as you become aware of this principle, you may find that you routinely live in a rather unfinished state. Practice finishing to save time and help tighten your organizational functionality. There are several kinds of finishing. The standards of finishing in a daily habits, the skill of finishing yourself, the ability to finish bigger projects. Standards of daily finishing. Making decisions about a family, about finishing daily standards, can take a lot of stress out of life. When is a meal finished? When is the laundry finished? When is the housework finished? Work with family members to set up standards so the whole family can support and practice to finish. Skill of finishing yourself. Additional personal finishing skills are helpful in modeling finishing habits. Do you completely put away the groceries after a trip to the store? Do you finish at your desk and put away all your paperwork when you leave that area? Do you hang up your coat and put away your gloves when you come in from a walk? Finishing bigger projects. The challenge with finishing is that you're likely to start something, abandon the project to start another project, and then put that second project aside before it's done to begin a third. As the day proceeds, you continue to start other things and then give those projects up before you get far with them. Your whole environment can be full of unfinished projects, paperwork, and purchases. The way to conquer this problem is to practice finishing, or at least bring your projects to a finishing place and put them away in a timely manner before other pressures descend. For example, if you're cleaning out a cupboard, you'll want to finish the project or bring this project to a place of partial finishing before the children get home from school and need help with snacks and homework. And then you can return to the project later in the evening or the next day. To practice, make a list of 3 home projects that need finishing. List the particulars needed to get each of these projects finished and spend time necessary doing just that, finishing. Retire from putting out others' fires. Another useful skill is to stop putting out others' fires. Solving others' problems, their fires, can be frustrating. And sometimes you commit past your capacity. Other times you feel socially obligated. And still other times you may be intimidated about having to help or else. Let's get some boundaries set and return to feeling in control again. How can you get a grip and what can you do to regain a semblance of order? There are specific steps for handling feeling confused, reducing intimidation as stress mounts, and regaining a semblance of control. Stop and ponder. When you feel like you are just putting out fires instead of continuing with whatever you're doing, take a few moments to stop and ponder. By stopping and figuring out what is going on, you can get a grip. Whose problem is this anyway? And how can I help with them instead of solving it all myself? You may be a bit more overwhelmed than usual because the laundry is overly large, your adolescent's clothing has stains that look difficult to get out, or maybe you're confused because your son hasn't decided what menu he wants for his birthday dinner later in the week. Or maybe you're feeling stressed because 3 close friends are having differences and you're in the middle. And when you feel overwhelmed, figure out what you need to do from that point forward to let others solve their own problems. Create an action plan. If you're feeling misused, create a plan of action. Okay, I'm in a confused state. It feels like I'm handling too many fires today. Exactly what will I do to get back to a place that's more peaceful, to where I feel more in control? Okay, I'm going to teach Rob how to get the grass stains out of his jeans. I'll ask Eli to write up his birthday menu and give it to me by tomorrow. I'll email my 3 friends, politely withdraw from my involvement. Suggest they get together for lunch soon to talk directly to each other about solving their issues. Making plans of action will help manage your life in the middle of the fire season. Face your increasing stress by stopping, pondering, and planning. What is mine to solve? What fires belong to other people? Then create a plan of action to give others back their own problems to solve. You don't have to put out other people's fires anymore. You'll likely find that when you withdraw from being all things to all people, the world survives quite nicely without your immediate attention, and hopefully others begin to put out their own fires. Teach self-reliance. Teach your family members to come to you with both their problems and possible solutions to problems. This invitation helps them realize that their problems are their own to solve. Such a stance will help them on their way to independence and self-reliance and save you time. Keep little things little. Sometimes your problems seem to grow out of proportion. Small problems seem to balloon, and you begin to feel overwhelming. Employ the following methods to keep little things little. Make a list of what's on your mind. As soon as you realize you're feeling overwhelmed and emotionally unable to cope, sit down with a piece of paper, fold it in half lengthwise, dump your troubles on the left side, and skip a line between all entries. This helps calm you down. On the left side of the paper, list everything that comes to mind: leaky faucets, running toilets, the need to fix dinner for company on Friday, to buying a birthday present for that invitation arrived over the weekend. Dump it all out, especially your feelings. The list might include your guilt at having missed sending birthday greetings to your friend, an expensive produce that tasted terrible, a frustration because your favorite pair of jeans has a new hole in the wrong place. On the right side, note what you can do to address or solve the problems listed on the left side. Who can approach to find answers to your needs? How will you handle the situation next time so you aren't embarrassed? And on and on. Some of your right-hand list entries will say, "There's nothing I can do." Knowing what can be done and what must be left alone is the first step to keeping little things little. You always want to move from problems to finding solutions and regaining control again. Deciding where to use your energy. Take this list of what is bothering you and plan how to tackle these sometimes emotionally overwhelming demands. In other words, use the right-hand list to employ the skills taught earlier. Attach A, B, C priority letters to each item on the right hand. Decide what A items to do on what days, what B items to leave until later, and C pressures that put aside for some distant, slower period in your life. The notations on the right side of your list will guide your schedule as to which projects receive attention today, tomorrow, the rest of the month. Some items have to be postponed until next month, some a little longer, and some may never get done because there's nothing to be done. The important principle is that you decide how to respond. After you have set A, B, C priorities, add longer launch and landing periods to your calendar. While stress sometimes comes because of an emergency, it often rises slowly and catches you in a hurricane of too many big projects, major activities, and other adventures. It's up to you to create or expand the launch and landing time bubbles so that you can gear up successfully, come down, de-stress, and get back to your regular routines, and otherwise return with appropriate pacing. Remember, you're always going to be pushed by others to the very limit of what you will allow. If you allow less chaos, taking more time for launching and landing, you will still be respected and will be able to respond better because you're handling your pressures and responsibilities in a more orderly, I can do this and this and no more, no sooner than this method. After a short respite, you can usually reemerge into your life. When you do, take a moment to notice those around you and the things that may be a little different. No, I'm not going to do that meeting. Yes, I'm planning on a simple dinner. No, I won't be able to wash those pants until Saturday. Yes, I would appreciate some babysitting help this evening. Yes, I could use help folding and putting the wash away, getting a load of dishes going, and sweeping the kitchen floor. Remember, it's up to you to make life work for you and your family, in your workplace, and all through your life. You're in charge of taking back your life, making sense of it, over and over again. Take a break, recalibrate to bring answers and motivation back. And then when you get going again, life suddenly seems to turn around and you can smile. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service, Turkey with Molasses Butter by Amy Nunsinger. Total time, 4 hours. Serves 8. You're going to need 10 tablespoons of unspalted butter at room temperature, 2 tablespoons of molasses, 1/4 cup of kosher salt, 1/4 cup of coarsely ground black pepper, 2 teaspoons of fresh lemon juice, and 1 10 to 12 pound turkey. Heat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. In a bowl, use a fork or wooden spoon to combine 8 tablespoons of the butter, the molasses, salt, pepper, and lemon juice, and set aside. Remove the turkey giblets, discard, or reserve for another use. Rinse the turkey under cool running water. Pat completely dry with paper towels. Place on a rack in a roasting pan. Using your fingers, carefully spread the butter mixture evenly under the skin, reaching in as far as possible without ripping it. Place any remaining butter mixture into the cavity. Rub the remaining 2 tablespoons of butter on top of the skin, about 1 cup of water to the pan. Roast uncovered until browned about 45 minutes. Then, cover loosely with a large sheet of foil. Continue to roast until a thermometer inserted in the thigh registers 180 degrees Fahrenheit. which should be 2.5 to 3 hours total, depending on the size of your turkey. Let stand covered for at least 30 minutes before slicing. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Clean and refresh your home with fall scents. By Kristen Henningsen. Using spicy and earthy scents in your home cleaning routine may actually prevent harmful viruses from entering your home and fight bacteria that can accumulate in closed spaces. Fall cleaning is not a common phrase as spring cleaning, but preparing our nests for a long winter is just as wonderful as cleaning out the cobwebs after a cold season spent indoors. And using botanical oils to get our homes cozy for fall is a natural way to nix cold weather illnesses and boost spirits. Warming botanicals are high in both phenylpropane and terpenoid compounds, among the strongest antibacterial, antiviral, and antiseptic agents known in the botanical world, says Marcel Lefebvre, author of Aromatherapy Workbook. By carefully using spicy and earthy scents, we may not only help prevent harmful viruses from entering our homes, but help fight bacteria that tends to accumulate in spaces closed up tight against the elements. In addition to cleansing the home, these warm and inviting scents can stimulate the nervous system and even sharpen the mind, as new research on rosemary indicates. Anise. A slightly sweet and aromatic scent of anise has spicy undertones, is commonly described as a licorice-like. In addition to being a powerful antiseptic, anise also has antifungal properties, as detailed in a 2005 study in the journal Acta Pharmaceutica. The essential oil makes a potent ingredient in any disinfectant cleaner. Historically renowned all over the world for its medicinal properties, the oil can also be used in a diffuser to promote relaxation and a healthy respiratory system. Cinnamon. One of the oldest spices used by humans, cinnamon has a characteristic spicy fragrance. Various studies have reported strong antimicrobial activity in cinnamon extract, and the essential oil has been found to be especially effective in repelling insects. Cinnamon-stimulating volatile oils are vasodilating, increasing circulation and warmth in the body. Use in a disinfectant spray, sachet, or simmering potpourri for a delicious-smelling and healthy home. Clove. The hot, spicy scent of clove has a sweet finish. Energizing clove oil possesses antihistamine, antiseptic, antifungal, and antiparasitic properties, but its real strength lies in its antibacterial applications. In 2009, the Journal of Food Science noted the significant effects of clove oil against several bacterial strains, including Escherichia coli, O157H7, Salmonella enterica, and Listeria monocytogenes. When oil inhibited from the growth of these bacteria when used directly or in a vaporized form, using clove oil in your diffuser or disinfectant spray could be an effective way to combat the bacteria in your home. Use low dilutions of the oil, however, as it can be an irritant, or place whole cloves in a warming potpourri. Fir. The fragrance of a fir pine tree is one of the finest coniferous scents. Fresh, balsamic, and piney in fragrance, the oil and resin of the fir were traditionally used for antiseptic properties. Use it in your home to disinfect especially noxious areas by adding to an all-purpose cleanser. The volatile oils are energizing and can help protect against respiratory diseases. Place fresh fir or pine boughs throughout your home for a healthier, more energized atmosphere. Rosemary. Truly intoxicating. The scent of rosemary is fiery and spicy with a hint of pine. The volatile oils of rosemary have a long-lasting antibacterial antiseptic properties, which make it a favorite in cleansers and sprays. It's also highly effective at dissolving grease, repelling insects, thanks to its high camphor content. Recently, a study from Northumbria University in the United Kingdom found that 1,8-cineol, a main chemical in rosemary oil, is linked with an increased brain performance when found in the blood. Activate your mind and repel bacteria by hanging sprigs of rosemary by the entrance of your home. Naturally clean and fresh. Making your own cleansers for a fresh home is easy and economical. The first step is to stock up on basic ingredients such as white vinegar, baking soda, and a few spray bottles. Then gather some old towels or t-shirts to use for rags. Finally, use the scents of warming essential oils in any one of these easy formulas for a fresh fall fragrance. Clove Spice Air Freshener. 1 cup of water, 10 drops of cinnamon essential oil, 5 drops of anise essential oil, 5 drops of clove essential oil, and 1 tablespoon of witch hazel. Combine all ingredients well, pour into a spray bottle or atomizer, and spray generously throughout your home. Avoid contact with your eyes. Rosemary Fir All-Purpose Disinfectant Cleaner. 2 cups of water, 1 cup of white vinegar, 25 drops of rosemary essential oil, and 25 drops of fir essential oil. Combine all ingredients well and pour into a large spray bottle. Use to cleanse and disinfect kitchens, bathrooms, and countertops. You are listening to Flavor on the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Easy apple cake from scratch. Fabulous and so simple to prepare, this easy apple cake will leave them asking for more. So delicious, you won't believe you did it. Servings 8, prep time 10 minutes, cook time 45. You'll need 2 apples, medium or large, shredded, 1 cup of flour, 1 cup of sugar, a half a cup of oil, 1 egg, 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1 half a teaspoon of salt, a half a teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, and 1 tablespoon of sugar for sprinkling on top. Also, optional is a half a cup of walnuts chopped. Instructions. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees with a rack in the middle. Prep a 9-inch round cake pan with butter and flour. Dice or shred the 2 apples. Mix all ingredients well and move to your prepared pan. Sprinkle with about a tablespoon of sugar and bake until a toothpick comes out clean, about 45 minutes. Cool before serving. Run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Rivka Skidmore, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Flavor.